Well, I'd like to speak to you this morning on the text taken from our epistle. It is, without a doubt, one of the most important passages in Scripture that, as our colleague suggests, that we might read, mark, and inwardly digest, absolutely apply to our lives. What it says is unconventional, and that is, God's power is made perfect in our weakness. God's power, the power that created the heavens and the earth, that brought something out of nothing, that created the wind and the stars and the earth and the mountains, that power, Paul is suggesting, is available to you and to me, but it will not be found in moments when we are full of our own selves, full of our own egos, our own capacity. It will only be found when we reach those moments, when we surrender to God. And that is precisely when God's power comes to us. And we begin to rest not in our own strength, but in God's strength. And with that comes the peace that passes all understanding. Okay, thank you for listening. I always believe in a little cliff notes before you get started, just so you know where we're headed. But I want to tell you that in the 7th of March 1970, Victor Bogota had no idea where his life was headed. You probably don't know his name, but you certainly know the story. It was set in the context of a great competition of downhill ski jumping. Have you seen that before? Where they get up at the very top and they go down at a mighty speed, and hopefully if everything goes off just right, they take air and seem to fly for a distance, and then land hopefully and they're able to make a quick left turn. Sadly, that's not what happened to Victor Bogota on that day. As he prepared for his third leap off the formidable Cloughler Hill, a light snow had swelled into a thick, blinding fury. The initial beauty was replaced with what became a treacherous slip on the ramp. Halfway down the incline, he sensed the perils of his escalating speed, and in an attempt to control his descent, he tried to lower his center of gravity, but fate had other plans. Instead of slowing, he lost his balance, catapulting him wildly off the other end, tumbling and flipping like a living rag doll in the grip of gravity. And he crashed through the flimsy barrier, stopping just shy of a horrified crowd. Unbeknownst to Vinko, none other than the Wild World of Sports film crew was present at that time, and they had trained their lens on the action. If you're not familiar with the ABC Wild World of Sports, it was, of course, a sports anthology television program that aired on ABC for about 20 years, and the program was hosted by none other than Jim McKay, who introduced viewers to a variety of athletic activities around the world. That day, the film crew was present and captured what was, for Vinko, probably the worst day of his life. Not only did they capture it, but in the footage of the crash, it all became immortalized in the program's famous introduction to the opening montage, synced perfectly with Jim McKay's powerful narration, spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sports, the thrill of victory, and the
agony of defeat.
Imagine that being your highlight reel. That day, that scene played over and over again for the rest of his life. Life has a peculiar way, I think, of catching us off guard, doesn't it? One moment we are on the top, and it seems like everything is going great, and then all of a sudden, Right in that moment when we're feeling somewhat invincible, we find ourselves flat on our backs, bewildered by what transpired. I think it's true, as the saying goes, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. And it has a remarkable way of humbling us. The Apostle Paul writes then some of the most important words about how that we might understand these moments and how we might find a measure of relief and peace and strength. God's power is made perfect in our weakness. Now, it's very clear that this statement challenges everything that we know about our modern sensibilities and perceptions. And I would say in our communities, many of our communities, certainly in South Charlotte, what is celebrated is strength and capability. The ability to rise up, to achieve. And this impulse just drives all the way through every family. So many of our young people feel that same pressure. Consider that just for a moment. What happens to someone when they're repeatedly conditioned to project confidence and competence and control all the time in their lives? What happens when we idolize those who appear to have their lives perfectly in order? Paul turns this notion upside down, and he implies that the genuine strength, divine strength, emerges not from our ability to conquer, but from our acknowledgement of our limitations and our vulnerabilities. We need to learn that acknowledging weakness is not about self-pity, but what it means to be human. It's about honesty, being truthful with ourselves, and that we need God. I've often thought that when people post things on social media, that perfect picture that places them in some magical scene, they ought to take a picture of what actually happened before you took the picture. Or maybe what happened afterwards. Or maybe other things that happened on that, what was going to be the perfect trip that turned out to be not so perfect. I think it would do everyone a bit of a favor. Because you see, sooner or later, as Richard Rohr has written, if you were on any classical spiritual schedule, some event, some person, idea, or relationship will enter into your life that will simply leave you in a place where, using your present skill set, your acquired knowledge, and your strong willpower, you will be dropped to the edge of your private resources. No one wants to have this experience, no doubt. As Frederick Buechner once referred to it in speaking of Jesus, this is what can often become the magnificent defeat when we are finally called to truly surrender before the Lord. One of my favorite hymns is one I'm sure you know quite well, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Many of us are familiar with the first stanza, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, all our griefs and sins to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer." What we don't hear often is the second stanza. Do you know it? "Oh, what peace we forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." It is, again, the cultural religion of influence and affluence, keeping up appearances, of projecting images of ourselves that are not true, that keeps us and blocks our way to God. I was recently at the Aspen Ideas Festival where I heard again some of the consequences on mental health when people feel deeply compelled to live a life of unhealthy striving. First, thoughts on girls. I have a 22-year-old. I'm often struck by how society places immense pressure on girls to always appear beautiful, confident, composed, and in control. According to the American Psychological Association, nearly 31% of girls and young women experience staggering anxiety, largely due to societal expectations and pressures to maintain a facade of perfection. I also have two boys, Two of them. And I'm also struck how they are encouraged to embody strength and toughness and emotional stoicism. The American Foundation for the Prevention of Suicide reports that men are now dying at a suicide rate of 3.63 times more often than women, partially due to the societal pressures to suppress emotions and to not seek help. We can think in any number of ways about how things are happening to people in the workplace, where 76% of employees are experiencing feelings of burnout. The fear of being perceived as weak or incapable always seems to prevent individuals from seeking help or admitting mistakes. We as Christians, rather than seeing life as a series of tests to prove our worthiness, we in the Christian community need to do our part to normalize what it means to be human and to say that it's okay to ask for help. Another of my favorite hymns is one that I have come to live by in my life. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will always love and trust him, in his presence I will live. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I wonder what it would look like right now for you to take a picture of something that you're thinking about, something that you feel that you are bearing. I wonder what it would be like to ask God into that vulnerable place. It's a very scary thing sometimes, I think, to turn our lives over to Christ. But it's something that we have to do again and again and again. And what's the risk? Here I think of that wonderful passage from Romans 5, I believe it is, where Paul says this: what shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? No, no one. Christ Jesus died more than that, who was raised to life and is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger of the sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor anything in the future, or anything to come, will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ. I believe that. I believe that nothing separates us, even and especially in those moments when we are feeling the agony of our own defeats. And I believe those moments can and will be for you moments of transformation, where you come to rely not on your strength, but on him. So whatever happened to Victor Bogota? In a serendipitous twist of fate, there was a 20th anniversary of the celebration of the Wild World of Sports. Every great sports athlete that had ever been featured was invited, sort of like, I guess, the modern day ESPYs, or you know what I'm talking about, the different sports shows. Every major athlete that had done something significant was invited forward, and everyone clapped. There was one aspect of that show that was left. That everybody wondered about when all of a sudden they played that highlight reel one more time. The agony of defeat. And they called forth Victor, and he came up What do you think happened? Every athlete in that space stood up and gave him a standing ovation. Because he became an emblem, not of defeat, but perseverance. And I pray that that would be the case for you and me. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will always love and trust him. In his presence I will live. I surrender all. All to him, my precious Savior, I surrender all.